Today I want to talk about speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. It's one thing to speak the truth. It's another thing to speak it in love. And this is one of those things that's easier said than done. For example, what do you say when someone asks your opinion and you have a choice to make? I can tell them how I really feel and risk hurting their feelings, or I can tell them what they want to hear, a lie, so I don't hurt their feelings. Who's ever been in that predicament? I think every day. It happens all the time at church. For example, she walks in and says to her husband, "Honey, does this dress make me look fat?" Watch out, guys, it's a trap. It's a trap. You could say, honestly, "No, it doesn't." You're thinking, "It's not the dress." That's still the truth. And you don't have to always say everything you think and feel, because that's not always the truth. And so today we're going to discover, this is kind of complicated, how do we navigate through speaking the truth in love? Or they ask you a question that you really don't want to answer for the same reasons. That doesn't mean you have to give an answer. You say, "Let me think about that. I'll get back to you," right? Questions like, "Aren't you glad to see me?" Or, "Why didn't you call me?" Or, "How does it taste?" Or, "You're an hour late, where are you?" Those kinds of questions. Or you see something and you know you should speak to it, but you're not exactly sure how, because for the same reasons, it may hurt their feelings if I tell them really what they need to hear. So maybe I'll settle and just tell them what they might want to hear and avoid making matters worse. This is something we all deal with, and hopefully I'm going to go to God's Word. We're going to look in God's Word to see what He has to say about it, and hopefully we'll be better at speaking the truth in love. You with me? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your truth about speaking the truth. I pray that we'd have ears to hear and a heart to respond to what we hear, and we would be better at speaking the truth in love. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 22. It'll take me a few minutes to get there. I'm going to share a few other scriptures, but Matthew 22 is the key passage. You know, in any relationship, from time to time, we just have to confront one another. It might be because of a difficult issue, or we need to share our feelings about something that's near and dear to our heart, something that's important, something that matters. And if we're not careful, we'll be tempted to do what I just talked about. And so this is difficult, whether you're on the giving end of the information or on the receiving end of it. And I'll be honest, I don't enjoy these conversations, but many times as a leader, you got to deal with this. And so I've just come to this conclusion, not that I always execute well, but I've come to the conclusion that it's just always best to speak the truth and to do it in love, right? Honesty is the best policy, and God's Word confirms that, right? Zechariah chapter 8 is one scripture, if we're going to look in God's Word to see how He feels about this. In Zechariah chapter 8, God is speaking a message to the Israelites through the prophet Isaiah. And if you read the whole chapter, time and time again, it says, "And the Lord says, and the Lord says, and the Lord says." You're right. And then it tells you what the Lord says. And one of the things that He says is in verse 16. It says, "And the Lord says, tell the truth to each other. Tell the truth to each other. Render verdicts in your courts that are just and that lead to peace." So, tell the truth, but do it in such a way that it turns out to be a positive experience. Amen? "Don't scheme against each other. Stop your love of telling lies that you swear are the truth." He says, "I hate all these things," says the Lord. In a sense, God's telling us today, like he did back then, tell the truth, quit your lying, because I hate it. I hate the little white lies. I hate the big bold lies and all the lies in between. Stop it. Here's another passage, Proverbs chapter 6. In fact, at the beginning of Proverbs chapter 6 in the New Living Translation, the subtitle for the chapter is Lessons for Daily Life. This is just daily life stuff. We know this, but sometimes we need to be reminded of it. And in verse 16, it says, there are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests. It's like he forgot one at the last minute. Verse 17 says, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who sows discord in a family. He says, I hate seven things, and two of them are about what? Lying. So he really hates lying. And so the truth is, all of us tell lies, whether we intend to or not. We do. The most common one, when someone comes up to you and says, you know, they can tell by your body language something ain't right, and they're going, is everything okay? And you say, yes, I'm fine. You can almost tell by the way they answer it, they're lying. Right? Anything wrong? No, nothing's wrong. I'm good. They're lying. I've done that before. I don't want to get into all the details, so I just kind of, yeah, I'm fine. I shouldn't do that. We do it, right? It's almost like a necessary sin. It's a play on words. Or what about, nice to see you? Really? You were just telling your spouse you hope they never come again. Which one is it? Or sorry, I missed your call. Or I'm stuck in traffic. You hadn't even left the bar yet. You're stuck in traffic. Or I've already got plans. Or our server was down, or I'll call you later, or my battery died, or this tastes delicious, and on and on and on. And so how do we not do that? Even though we're tempted to do that. Because we know what's at stake here. If we're really honest, it's probably going to make matters worse. And I don't want to be guilty of that. And so somehow we have this perverted sense of truth that I think God will be okay with it this time because I don't want to make matters worse. Let me just set the record straight. God is never okay when we lie. Never, never. And so you don't always have to speak into something, but if you speak it, if you open your mouth, it should be the truth. Here's the truth about speaking the truth. You ready? You can take a picture of this. The truth is always important to God and should always be important to us. Always. We should always tell the truth. We should be honest. We should be open and honest because honesty is the best policy. Even when it hurts, and even if it might make someone feel uncomfortable about what it is you want to say. It's like delivering the newspaper. You can lay it gently on the front porch or you can knock a window out with it. Right? Either way, the news gets delivered. But sometimes how you deliver it makes all the difference in the world as to how it's done and how it's received. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, verse 35, starting there. One of them is the Pharisees, one of the Pharisees, an expert in the law, tested him, Jesus, with this question, teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. love your neighbor as yourself. In this one passage, we see three objects of love. The first one is God. The second one is your neighbor or others. And the third one is yourself. God says we're to love all three. And if we're to love all three, we're also to speak the truth in love to all three. Loving all three means speaking the truth to all three. So with that in mind, I'm going to share with you six thoughts real quick on how we can speak the truth in love. If you're taking notes, here's number one: be truthful with God. Be truthful with God. That's where it starts. If you're not going to be truthful with God, you're not going to be truthful with anybody else. God knows everything. He already knows. It's not like you're hiding anything from him. We can hide things from people, but you can't hide things from God. And so I love the fact that I can go to God with all of my stuff, because he already sees it and knows it all, and I can have a conversation with him about how messed up I am, or how messed up the world is, or how I thought he didn't do something the way I thought he should have done it. You know, stupid things like that. I can go to God with all of that. He can handle. A lot of people can't handle the truth, but God can always handle the truth, or what you think might be the truth. He wants you to come to him. In the same way, parents, you want your kids to come to you when they've messed up. Most parents, kids, are you listening to me? Most parents really do want to know what you've done so they can help you fix it. But if you hide from them, if you hide the truth, they can't do that. And yes, parents can be better on the disciplining side. I'll get to that in a minute. But it should be a policy in every home that you want your children to tell you the truth. You know they're going to mess up like you did. You want them to tell the truth. Don't punish them for telling the truth. There might be consequences to what they did, but don't punish them for telling the truth. You want to encourage them to tell you the truth. God is that way with us. Now, we don't have to tell everybody else. We don't have to tell everybody else how we feel or what we think. But we should be able to go to God and share those things with him. And so part of loving God is to be truthful with God. Let me ask you a question this morning. What is something that you need to be truthful with God about in your life right now? And would you make a point to take that to him today and in the coming days of this week or this month, and just sit down and have a real honest conversation with God about whatever is that's in you that you are being convicted of right now? I haven't been honest. Here's point number two: be truthful with yourself. You can't give something away that you don't have. You can't be honest with others if you can't be honest with yourself. Remember back when there was a call on my life to transition into full-time ministry, and at the time, Pastor Robert Shoreline had approached me and said, "Hey, I think you'd be really good at this. Would you consider praying about it?" And I lied to him. I said, "Yes." But I didn't really pray about it, because there were some thoughts about it that I didn't really want to share with him, because it would reveal my pride or my selfishness or whatnot or my ungodliness. And so I lied just to avoid the trouble. And one day in my office, I was hearing a preacher preach a message that just nailed me. And basically what I heard the Holy Spirit say, that the two issues, just, I think I've shared this before, but just for those that haven't heard this, the two issues were, number one, I can't make as much money in ministry as I can doing my secular business. My wife's a stay-at-home mom with four kids. I think at the time the going salary for a children's pastor was $36,000. I was making more than twice that. And I'm thinking, this doesn't make financial sense to make the change. The other reason was, I'm not really sure I want to go to work for someone else. I really enjoy being self-employed. I can call my own shots. I can do whatever, whenever I want. There's some freedom in that, right? But both of those reasons were just not real spiritual in my mind. And it would seem so shallow and so unspiritual to share those truths with Pastor Rob. Anyway, the Holy Spirit nailed me one day in the office, and I basically heard him say this: how do you stand up in front of all those kids every week and challenge them to trust God with their life when you can't trust him with your finances? And everybody said, ouch. I had to come to grips with the truth about me. I had to be truthful with myself. And I said, Lord, you're right. You're right. And my back's in the corner. And you know what? I've got to say yes to God. And I've just got to work through these problems that I have. Lack of faith. And so I did. I said yes. And within a year or two, everything was resolved. But I know what it's like not to be honest with myself and what it's like. Did it hurt? Yes, it hurt. But was it helpful? Very helpful. It allowed me to deal with these hurdles, these barriers that were in front of me that were going to keep me from pursuing God's purpose for my life. Kind of like cutting your finger. At first, you put alcohol on it, right? At first, it hurts. But soon thereafter, eventually, it makes everything feel better, right? So sometimes speaking the truth is that way. Let me ask you, what is something that you need to be really honest about yourself with that you haven't been honest about? And would you take that to God and have a conversation about it? Maybe share it with somebody else. You know, you ever watch American Idol? Somebody should have told people they don't sing very well before they got in front of a national audience. Somebody wasn't truthful when they said, honey, I just think you have a great voice. You want to go on American Idol? And so sometimes your voice isn't great. That's okay. You're a 10 at something. Find out what that is and work on that. Sometimes we have to be honest about that. Number three, be truthful with others. I think often we tell people what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. Most of the time, again, it's with good intentions. You don't want to hurt their feelings. You don't want to make matters worse. You don't want them to stay discouraged. You don't want to create more problems. But Jesus was not that way. I want to read a passage of Scripture. It's the story about the rich young ruler. And in Luke chapter 18, verse 18, Luke 18, 18, it says, a certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy, he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Who would agree that Jesus spoke the truth in love to this young man, this young, wealthy man? It's not what he wanted to hear, but it's what he needed to hear. You know, if I was the rich young guy, I would have wanted to hear, good job, Bob. You know, 6 out of 10 ain't bad. Nobody's perfect. That's not what Jesus told him. Jesus knew that his focus was on the wrong thing. The guy wanted to get in heaven. This guy's thinking, I can get there by my works. And Jesus had to make it clear, it's not about works. It's about following me with your whole heart. And there's some things in the way that you need to get rid of to do that. I think sometimes people read that story and they misunderstand. They're thinking you got to sell everything to get into heaven. That was not Jesus' point. We know that we can't get to heaven based on our works. We only get there by following Jesus. And if there's something in the way of you following Jesus, that's where the attention, that's where the focus needs to go. Is there something in your life that's in the way of you following Jesus with your whole heart? And if so, that's what you're lacking. That's the truth that Jesus spoke. Sometimes I think we're more interested in making them feel better than actually making them better. And so I think the greater act of love would be to speak the truth to help them be better versus to make them feel better. What is something you need to be truthful about with someone else? Yeah, I'm going there. Maybe it's between your spouse. Maybe there's a conversation that's never been had because you're thinking, I don't know if I really want to go there. Well, listen, it's still there. It's still under the surface. It could be what's really causing your problems, but no one's brave enough to sit down and have a conversation. And if you need a referee, if you need a guy in a white striped shirt with a yellow rag, we do that in here called the prayer room. We do that with couples all the time. If you want to come in and have an arbitrator, have somebody to be there to, so you don't kill each other when you first break the news to one another, we can do that. But listen, I've always found that honesty is the best policy. And you get the truth out on the table, and then you ask the Holy Spirit to help you deal with it. Now, there are a few things that I would recommend that helps this process. Timing is very important. You have to have a sense of discernment. It may be something that's just on the tip of your tongue, but you know the person you need to share it with, this is not the time. They got their mind on other things. Now's not a good time. Don't share it when it's not the right time. Pray, God, show me the right time. Father, and here's, be careful if you pray this. Father, I want them to bring it up. If they bring it up, I'll tell them. Be careful. Because your spouse may come to you and say, is there something you're not telling me? Don't lie. Yes, now that you've asked. When would be a good time for us to sit down and have that chat? Okay? Another helpful hint is to, I call, lather before you shave. You know, when you shave with a dry razor or you dry shave, sometimes it can nick and draw some blood. That's not always best. It's always best to lather really good before you shave. It just goes smoother, feels better. And so, lather before you shave. Tell them the good before you tell them what needs to improve. So, you know, I love this about you, honey. This, 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 this. But there's this one thing that bugs me, and I want to share it with you. Lather before you shave. And make sure that the lather is 4 or 5 times greater than what you need to share. That helps. Amen? Number 4, allow others to be truthful with you. There's a difference. You being truthful with someone else, but you also need to allow someone else to be truthful with you. Who would agree it's easier to give the advice than it is to receive advice? Yeah. Many times we want to share what we think about them, but we don't really want to hear what they think about us. And so, I think all of us would agree we want our friends to be honest with us. We want our friends to tell us the truth. We have to be good at hearing the truth. We don't want them to lie. One of the things that I find helpful for people to do this is for me to ask them. It's almost like I'm inviting them to tell me. This sounds weird. I'm inviting them to tell me what I really don't want to hear. But did you hear what I said? What I don't want to hear. What if it's something I need to hear? What if it's a blind spot I have that's keeping me from going where I need to go or keeping me from being who I really want? What if it's a blind spot and I can't see it? I need somebody that loves me enough, cares for me enough to say, hey, in a loving way, hey, you might have a blind spot and here's what I see. Don't get offensive. Listen to what they have to say. Doesn't mean you have to agree with them, but just hear what they have to say and then just say this. Thanks for sharing that with me. You don't have to say, I don't agree with you or you're wrong. None of that. Just say, thank you for sharing that with me. Thank you for sharing it with me. And then you take it to the Lord and you chew on it with him and say, Lord, you know, what they said was kind of hurtful, but is it true? And if we have pride issues, it's always going to seem hurtful. We have to constantly humble ourselves every day before the Lord. Lord, examine my heart. Show me the things I need, right? You might ask them questions like this. Have I done anything to hurt your feelings? I do that from time to time with people that may seem offended at me, and I'm thinking, well, I wonder, you know. And I'll say, hey, is everything good between us? Have I done anything or said anything that has hurt you? I just gave them permission. I'd rather deal with it than have it be that elephant in the room that's just always awkward. Let's deal with it. And here's what I find many times. It's neither all the way to their side or either way. It's always somewhere in the middle, and it just got miscommunicated somehow. And if we can get that on the table and work through it and resolve it, here's what I know. I feel much better. Whew, I got that out of the way. Now we're good. We see each other at church or at the office. Everything's good, and we don't have to play all the games. So speaking the truth is always the right thing to do. It's not always the easiest thing to do, but it's always the right thing to do. And when we do it, things usually get better. Amen? And if necessary, if you've said something or done something that's hurt somebody, and they say, well, when you said that, it really hurt me. Now listen. It doesn't matter if you intended to hurt them or not. Listen. If you hurt them, just humble yourself and say, you know what, that was not my intent. Would you forgive me for hurting you? That was not my intent. Thanks for sharing that with me. Would you forgive me? Yes, I forgive you. Great. Is that possible? Can we all do that? That's number four. Here's number five. Admit when you're wrong. I was joking with Tammy not long ago about this between us, right? And she said, I admit when I'm wrong. I'm just not wrong very much. That was her truth. And she spoke it in love. I think about the story of King David, where David committed adultery with Bathsheba, tried to cover it up. He had lied about it for over a year. Eventually, God sends Nathan the prophet to confront David. David confessed his sin, asked the Lord to forgive him, but it wasn't without consequences. There are consequences when we lie and cover things up. And so from the time my kids were young, I tried to teach them this lesson. It's always better to confess a mess than to hide it. It's always better. The consequences are usually less when you confess versus me finding out later. And so I had this little rule, and I said, listen, if you've messed up, come and tell me. But if I catch you lying, it's double trouble. There may be a consequence for what you did, but it'll be worse if I catch you lying. What I was wanting to teach my kids is, hey, we've messed up. You know, here's what I was hoping they would say. Hey, we've messed up. Let's tell Dad, because we don't want two spankings, or we don't want two timeouts, or we don't want double trouble. I was trying to teach them it's always best to come and confess when you've messed up. And then I tried to role model that to my kids from the time they were young. If I was reflecting on the day and remembered, you know, I was short with them or said something I shouldn't have said or whatnot, I wanted to role model. I would go into their room at night and I would say, hey, earlier today when Dad blew up, that was wrong of me. Would you forgive me? And here's what a lot of people do, just because a kid wants to honor the parents. Oh, Dad, it's okay. No, it's not okay. No, it's not okay. I was wrong, and I'm asking you to forgive me. And then they would usually say, I forgive you. I was role modeling for them. This is what it looks like for you to do that. And I think that's a good habit to have in your homes. Amen, if you got young kids. And then here's number six, keep your word. There's a story of Paul, one of Paul's journeys, and he changes his plans. And the people that he changed his plans with had misinterpreted his intent. But he goes on to explain why he changed his plans. Who knows sometimes plans change? Yeah. If you read to the end of the story, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul says, you may be asking why I changed my plan. Do you think I make my plans carelessly? Do you think I'm like people of the world who say yes when they really mean no? As surely as God is faithful, my word to you does not waver between yes and no. What's Paul saying here? If I make a commitment, I'm going to keep it. And he did keep his commitment of being there. He just had to change his plans on the way because he realized that, listen, this was not the right time to share with them what he wanted to share with them, so he changed the time, but he still fulfilled his commitment. A couple of good lessons there for when it comes to speaking the truth. Paul's basically saying you need to keep your word. If you give somebody your word, you need to keep it. But also allow some flexibility, because we know that sometimes things can change. We also know that sometimes, it happened this week, I stood a guy up for an appointment. It was on my calendar. I looked at it the morning of. I'm thinking I need to call him because something's come up. I can't meet with him. And I got busy and forgot. And about 5 minutes after the appointment time, we were supposed to meet here, I'm out at the lake. I see his name come up on the phone. He's calling me, asking, where are you? And I immediately said, man, I am so sorry. I stood you up. I'm so sorry. And he said, it's okay. And I said, no, it's not okay. I stood you up. Would you please forgive me? It was interesting. We were going through John 10:10 stuff. He had just learned how to forgive. I said, would you forgive? Would you run me through the prayer of forgiveness and forgive me? Because I shouldn't have done it. Okay? It happens. It happens. And it allows us to be able to cut people slack when they do it to us. Sometimes we forget that we've done it to others, right? We get really irate when it happens to us. But we want grace when we do it. So just keep some of these things in mind, and I think over time we'll get better at speaking the truth in love. Amen? Would you bow your heads? I want to ask you a couple challenging questions as we close today. What are you hearing God say to you about speaking the truth and doing it in love? How are you at doing that? How are you at being honest with God about things you're going through in life? What about some things about yourself? Are you honest with yourself, or are you posing to be somebody that you're really not? Are you wanting something to be true about your life that you know just isn't true about your life? Would you take that to God and hash through it and settle it? Do you sometimes lie to get your way? You sometimes lie to avoid making matters worse. Do you get offended when people try to be honest with you? How about admitting when you're wrong? Father, I pray that in all of these ways we would get better at speaking the truth in love. So Lord, search our hearts. Holy Spirit, cover us with humility to be able to walk this out and do it the way you've described it. Forgive us for the times, whether it was for pride or selfishness, whatever it was, for the times that we've lied to you, lied to others, lied to ourselves. Forgive us for the times where we were so prideful we just never thought we were ever wrong. Help us to be humble and admit when we're wrong, and humble to ask forgiveness when we've wronged somebody else. Help our church be better at speaking the truth in love, like you did, time and time again. If you're here in the house today, I want to go back to the story about the rich young ruler. Jesus said, there's still something you're missing. And I wonder if that's true for anyone here in the house with us today, or maybe watching online. There's something missing in your life. Jesus. Is Jesus missing in your life? Have you not received Jesus' forgiveness and mercy for your sin problem? Can you be honest about that and confess it to him and say, Lord, forgive me? If that's you, I want to lead you in a prayer to do that today. The Bible says to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that what you're about to say is true. True about you, true about him, true about Jesus. Just say, Jesus, I confess I'm a sinner. I confess that I've fallen short in so many ways. And I know your word says that death is the penalty for sin. But you chose to die in my place so I could live forever. For that, I say thank you. But I'm also now asking you to forgive my sins. I'm also telling you that I'm putting my faith in you so that I can have eternal life and not eternal death. And so, Jesus, save me from my sins today. I confess that you are God, that you are my God, that you are my Lord and my Savior. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would change my heart, change my mind, that I would become a new creature in Christ Jesus. That today I'm being born again spiritually. Thank you for sharing that truth for my life and saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.